for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Wednesday afternoon, December 29th, 1999 service at the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. The speaker for this afternoon is Mildred Coffey from Millington, Tennessee.
You know, I want to share some this afternoon on the occult. I don't know how much people believe about the occult, but and the witchcraft and Satanism, but I got news for you. It's real. I was telling the girls up there, I think it was one day this week, I don't know what day it was. I had forgotten about it, and I wish I had remembered it before. My husband was in the yard one day looking around the house and just walking around looking. I don't know what he was doing out there, but he walked behind my shed where I keep my riding lawnmower, and he was looking over there, and there was a bucket there that we use sometimes when we're working on the roses. We raised roses, and he was wondering why I had filled it full of leaves. It was full of leaves, and he thought I had filled it full of leaves and set it back there. And he said he reached over to get it, and it was heavy. And when he picked it up, it had a plastic bag in it that was full of blood. And we don't have any idea where it came from, but we believe that someone put it there to curse us. And then we found at our bedroom window under... I'm okay. I was working in my rose bed out beside the end of my house and was digging in the ground and dug up a plastic bread bag, you know, to put bread in. In that bread bag was pieces of bones, and there was one piece of bread, and there was some tied string or fetish in there. And I don't remember what else it was, but then that was on one side of the house, the blood was on the other, and then in front of the house, we found three dead birds under my car, put in a triangle out there. And we were always finding things in our yard. We live on the highway, and most people know us. We've been there for 50 years at least. I can't remember how long I've been there, but a long time. But my point of the whole thing is that we know that we got cursed from it. And I'm wondering now, I didn't think of it at the time, I'm wondering if it had any, this blood had anything to do with what happened to my husband. I don't know, because I really didn't remember. We had broken curses over it. But you know, I find that a lot of people don't believe that you can be cursed. Or no, you can. And so this afternoon, I want to do a little bit of, well, looks like I might do a whole lot. I got a good bit of time of sharing on the occult and then do some deliverance from it. And I think what the Lord is trying to show us, hey, we're in a war. Whether you believe it or not, you're in the war. Whether you're fighting or not, you're still in it. And we need to know our enemy. We need to know that it's the devil's real and that the occult, witchcraft and Satanism is real. A lot of our kids are involved in it, and yet we want to say, well, you know, it's just works of the flesh. Yeah, it is the works of the flesh, but they send curses, and since a curse that sin is a demonic thing. You know, the Word says that Jesus' words were spirit and they were life. And over in Proverbs it says that we either speak death or life with our power of our tongue. And so what it's saying is when we speak in death, we're listening death words that will bring death and bring harm to people. So people, we need to really guard what we say. We need to be speaking life. I don't mean to go and speak that, you know, I've got $1 million or I'm going to get $1 million or anything like that. I think we need to guard what we say instead of saying, I'm tickled to death. I'm with long life. I'm going to live and declare the glory of God. You know, we need to say what the Word says about us instead of saying what the devil wants us to say. Don't curse yourself. Go open your Bibles, if you will, and then we won't pray, but I want us to open your Bibles to 1 John. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you this afternoon as your children, We are your children. We are sons. Lord, we are growing into mature sons as we learn and study your word. We thank you, Father, that we can gather together in this place in the name of Jesus. I thank you for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I thank you for each one that's here. And Lord, I thank you for the work that's done here and the people that are delivered and healed and set free from the powers of darkness. But Lord, I ask you this afternoon to open people's spiritual ears and eyes to the works of the enemy, that we might work against him as he has worked against us for so long. For Father, we know that greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. We know that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We count not our lives during the death. We stand upon your word. But Father, we also know that you gave us power over an authority over all the power of the devil. And that you said that whatever we bind on this earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on this earth is loosed. So, Father, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you open our ears, our spiritual ears, our spiritual eyes, and our understanding, that we might see with the eyes of the Spirit, that we might hear with the ear of the Spirit, and that we might understand in our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for the word. I thank you for your word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living word. I thank you for hiding that, letting us hide that word in our heart, that we might not sin against you, that we might walk in the power and authority that you've given us, that we might walk in the fullness of your Spirit. Not, Father, not thinking of later down the road, but right today, that we might be the overcomers you said we are, that we might grasp the word and begin to walk in it and see the word work in our lives and the lives of people around us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory this afternoon, because your word is true and it doesn't lie. You said heaven and earth would pass away, but your word would endure forever. So, Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In 1 John in chapter 3, I think Brother Copeland uses, he spoke part of it this morning, but in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. But I want to use the last part of it. I think I did this once before, but we're going to do it tonight. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Jesus Christ was made known to us that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he did. Upon the cross of Calvary, he destroyed the works of the devil. And then he said in Mark's gospel, you go and you lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. You go and you cast out devils. And he said, he that believes will cast out devils. But he also said Matthew, he said, the believer, he said in Matthew 10, I think it's 7 and 8 or 9, whatever, right there in that area, said, as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we're in the kingdom. We're working. The kingdom is working within us, and we're in the kingdom. And he said, as you go, preach that the kingdom of heaven is now, and that, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. He said, freely you receive, freely give. So what I want to ask you this afternoon, are you a believer? Amen. So you're raising the dead, casting out devils, and healing the sick. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory. Let's go over to Acts chapter 8. I want to show you how witchcraft works. I want to show you how the enemy can get into the church. I want to show you how he can blind us and keep us from walking in the power and authority that God wants us to walk in. You know, over in chapter 8 and verse 5, you know, Philip had gone out and was preaching. Chapter 8, verse 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, casting out spirits is a miracle, by the way. He said he was doing, they saw the miracles that he was doing. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and they were lame, and they that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. I was looking at this and as I was reading, studying it, seeing that Simon, as he was in the church, he was doing great things. They thought he was wonderful. He bewitched the people. He put a spell on them. you've seen people that can just literally mesmerize you with their teaching, and you get so caught up in it. I hear people, and this just blows me away, that people I know and love will sit under a sermon sometimes, and it comes totally against everything they believe, and they get up and walk away and say, man, that was great. They didn't hear a word that man said. It's so charismatic, the charisma, I think is the word I want. So much charisma that they're just almost like they're hypnotized. And they don't recognize that a lot of compromises coming for us and things that are not true that are being spoken to them, they don't even notice it. And I think, hey, were you and I in the same service? I want to know. I'm always listening for error. I'm always wanting to see if what they say is. I don't like for someone to start a scripture, and sometimes, I know we all do it sometimes, but I've heard people just speak the three words of a verse of scripture and never complete it. And I want to know what the whole thing says instead of just taking part of it. And yet, we sit sometimes, and I'm telling you this to tell you, we need to judge what we hear. The Word says that take heed what you hear. Guard your ears. Because the enemy, if you hear something that's not true, the enemy will plant that in your spirit. Because he wants you to remember that. But you hear something that's true, and you go away and say, now, what did they say? What did that Word say? I want to know what it said. And you can't remember it. That's why it's always good to write down scriptures so you can go back and look at them and say, hey, what did that word say? Buy the tapes and listen to the tapes. But what my whole point is that you can have a witch come into the congregation and unless you're listening with your ear, spiritual ears and seeing with the eye of the Spirit and listening to the Spirit of God in you and be totally deceived, and they come into our churches, people. I can stand here and tell you we've had them come in ours. Man, have we had them. And they come in, what do they come for? Destroy the church. We're down to a handful. I count them on, well, maybe take two hands, might take, that's about seven or eight of us is about left. But because of the occult that comes in, the witches and ones that are being sent in, they come in and they lull the people. They work behind your back, they work in darkness, and they work in deception. And this is what Simon was doing. He was a sorcerer. He said, and there was great joy in the city, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city, same city, he mesmerized the whole city. And yet we say witchcraft and Satanism isn't, you know, it can't touch us. But here's one man that had the whole city bewitched, and the people of Samaria was given out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, and this man is the great power of God. So what was he doing? He was working, and he was doing the things by the false power that God's power was doing. Satan counterfeits everything God has. False healing. Oh, he can heal you of cancer, or he can heal you of something and give you something even worse. He can heal you, and then a Satan can, or someone that's working under those powers can. They can come in, and they'll, you say, well, you had a headache. Well, they laid hands on you and got rid of the headache. I said, be careful who lays hands on you. Know who's laying hands on you. Listen, I would like for somebody to walk up and put their hands on me. You say, man, yeah, I am. I don't want people's hands on me. Because unless I know where you're coming from, don't do it. I might rebuke you. You know why? Because I don't know where you came in from. You say, well, boy, you're hard. Not near as hard as I'd like to be. And some of the things I've been through. Because let me tell you, if a witch comes into your fellowship or into this church and you don't know anything about who they are, and they're going around putting their hands on everyone, Paul said, lay hands on no man suddenly. How do you know what you were getting? How do you know what they were transferring to you? You say, you got me walking in fear. I want you to be wise. He said, Jesus said, be harmless as doves, but be what? Wise as serpents. He told us to be wise and to know the people. And when I know someone, I know where they're walking. I know if what they say they are, then I have a whole different picture of them, and I know where they're coming from. And so then, you know, that's another story. But let me tell you something. I've dealt with those spirits from people that walked in, put their hands on me uninvited, and took it on themselves to lay hands on me. And I'll tell you right now, I had to go and get deliverance from it. You say, well, you had a door open. Oh, sure I did, because I got mad when they did it. Opened door, and it went right in. True. Made me mad. And I opened the door. You see, a curse causes can't come. I'll give you a scripture in a little bit for it. You got to have an open door for it to walk in, and it will walk in. And he said that he was doing things, and they believed it was God. I've heard, I think it was Tommy Cook that says this, and I appreciate it, because he says, when he's preaching, if people are following the man, he's not walking in the Spirit of the Lord. But if they're following God, if the man points them to God, then he's God's man. You hear what it said? If you're following the man because he's prophesying and giving you the things you want to hear, you know, if a prophet came up and told me everything I wanted to hear, I would call him a false prophet. I would. I might not call it to his face. I'd be nicer than that. But when I'd walk away, I'd say, I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. You know why I say that? Because in my Bible, a prophet, when he came into town, the people were afraid of him because he told the truth about him. He didn't say the Lord's pleased with you, Gene. He just thinks you're great. That's not what a true prophet says. He says, thus saith the Lord. I'm talking about the prophets. And we go around thinking because somebody says, well, the Lord likes you, he loves you, you're pleasing to the Lord, and that he's going to bless you till your socks come off. That's not God. You can take my word for it. Are we really pleasing our God? We're not obeying him. We're not walking in the word the way he wants us to. He wants us to obey his word, and we won't even obey him enough to get rid of our garbage. Praise the Lord, I got one that was right. I tell you, people, now, I always get in trouble over here because I just say, you know, the Word says, and that's what the Word says. But I don't hear much preaching against it, but I preach against, now, girls, love me anyways, against earrings, pierced ears, because the Word says that the pierced ears that's the bond slave. So I preach it over here, and I go home, and I've been talking to my daughter. She wears pierced ears. I said, you need to get rid of those, girl. She's 40-something years old. She obeys me to the letter. She went out and had three more put in her ear. I promise you, really in bondage. She obeys me to the letter. So I don't say anything to her. I just say, Lord, she's your child. She's your problem. But I told her. And so the reason I was saying this is my job to tell you. I can't make you believe it, and I don't have to make you believe it. I didn't write that book. God did. I'm just reading it. Praise the Lord. And we need to be obedient to the Word of God. We need to be wise. We need to judge everything by the Word. And I'm telling you something. Every one of us is anxious about this weekend, aren't we? I mean, some of you, maybe I'm the only one anxious. I got to go home. I want to go home. Praise the Lord. I am home, right. But the thing is, we may see God do a few things that we're not expecting. Amen. Why? Because judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. And if we don't judge ourselves, how can we judge others? And yet we walk around like we're just letter perfect, and girls and boys and young men and old men and old women. I don't know how to rephrase that. We need to be real careful about talking, judging other people, and start judging ourselves. Because many, many times the things we're judging other people for is working within us, and we need to do it. That didn't cost us anything. We're going back to the occult now. And he said in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also that, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered with beholding the miracles and signs which were done. He believed Philip and he was baptized. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come, went down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. And sometimes men start out as true prophets of God and true in the things of the Lord, but because of that old greed that's in them, the thing that only way you can receive all the money and things that they want is by pleasing the people. And I don't find that in God's Word. It says, Jesus tells us to speak, the Word tells us to speak the truth in love, to speak the truth and not compromise. So many people are compromising, and a lot of people that have been in deliverance have compromised it, and they've compromised the Word till they're not in it anymore. Now, I can only speak about deliverance because of what I know about it. But I see that in other places, too, because of the money situation. They want to build big kingdoms, big churches, and bring, well, I meddle a lot, so I'll just meddle a little more. I don't see God in some of these things that the churches have got. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to, but I don't see in my Bible that God said, go build a temple. We are the temple of God. And God wants us to cleanse this temple and build this temple. And so many of our churches have compromised the Word and gone out and built all these things that are pleasing to the people, that are the same things that the world is doing, because they're using the world's methods to bring people into the church. And God didn't say that. God wants us to build this temple. He wants us to walk in the power and authority of His Word and to do that which is pleasing unto Him. And this is what Simon saw. Well, I see what they're doing. Hey, I can get this and pay them money, get the Holy Ghost and lay hands on people, and they'll pay me to do it. The Bible didn't say that, but he was willing to pay for it, wasn't he? And so it's not of the Lord. And so in verse 22, Peter and them had come. Well, verse 20 says, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gifts of God may be purchased with money. Do you ever see people that follow a man around that prophesies that always want to give them gifts under the table? You know, I'm going to give you this one. I'll take you out to dinner, buy you dinner. And then you can prophesy to me, and then I'll give you this. I've seen this. Don't tell me it don't happen. I know it does. And what they're doing, whether that individual is compromising his position, I don't know, but I said this to you, that when he goes out with those individuals and prophesies the things they want to hear, he's opening himself up for the wrong spirit. Yeah. And that thing just sitting there waiting to come in. I know a man that did that. And today I don't know where he is. Because we cannot please man and God. And when you get into pleasing man and being manipulated by man, you're under a curse of witchcraft. Witchcraft is manipulation, it's control, and when we yield to that thing to please man and not God, we have just yielded ourselves to it and opened the door for any false spirit and evil spirit that is following us around. What does the Word say in 1 Peter? Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then he said, verse 21 says, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. This guy just got baptized. And Peter looked at him, man, this is what I'm desirous to see the church do. And the church will be divided, and it will be subtracted. We'll add by subtracting and multiply by dividing when we start. See, pastors get up and start saying, your heart's not right. This is not God. Because you see, Peter spoke what he was, what the Word said. He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And he says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity. So here we see that bitterness, the root of bitterness, bitterness is gall. We cast out a spirit of bitterness yesterday. I was ministering to a lady, and we had been calling some things out, and I got on the root of bitterness, and that thing started coming out, and it just continued to come out. She said, my word. I said, not yours, but God's. Come on out there in the name of Jesus. And she said, it tastes terrible. I said, yeah, bitterness is bitter. What does the Word say? Bitterness, gall of bitterness. And so we see when we get into this, we open the door for all kinds of things. Now go over to Isaiah chapter 44, and let's look at some of the things. I'm going to show you some of the things that witchcraft and the occult can do to you. I think that's where I wanted to go. That's been Isaiah 44, chapter I'm going to start with verse 24. He said, here, and thus saith the Lord thy God, thy Redeemer, that he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth heavens alone, and that spread abroad the earth by itself, that frustrate the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, and that turneth wise men backwards, and maketh their knowledge foolish. Did you know madness and insanity comes from witchcraft? He said here, that maketh diviners mad, and turneth wise men backwards, and maketh their knowledge foolish. That frustration comes from witchcraft. If you ever get to the place where you're frustrated and your confusion is working, start binding witchcraft. You know, binding is one of the greatest weapons that the Lord's given us, up to including casting out the spirits. You bind them first and cast them out. But God's given us authority to bind, and I was telling the ladies upstairs when I was talking about sickness, pain is a spirit. Bind the thing. Man, you got authority. I've had people say, well, I tried and it didn't work. I said, well, that's the problem. You tried. You just bind till it quits, till it stops. Take your authority. You know your authority, you bind. So bind witchcraft and witchcraft curses. Last night, I was sitting on the front row, and I got attacked by darts and arrows and in my back. And I went back and got Tommy to pull them out. He pulled them out and prayed for me. He got it off of me. But I could feel those things. Someone had been loosening them at me. I don't have any idea where they came from, but I just know they were there. And it was like the weight of the world had hit me on top of my shoulders, and I knew I was under a curse, and he got it off of me. And I praise the Lord for deliverance. He called those things off me right back there. And the word works, and if we'll believe it and walk in it, you'll see great things happen. You'll see freedom come forth. You know, I like this. This is not part of my scripture, but I like this is one of my favorite scriptures. Verse 26, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messenger that said to Jerusalem. And the first part of that is he says that he confirms the words of his servant. Are you a servant of God? When you're speaking God's word, see, God performs what? His word as you speak it. And so when I do deliverance and when I'm praying for people, well, then I say, Father, this is what your word says. You said you gave me authority. You gave me the power to bind the enemy and to cast out devils. And they have to obey. Demons fear and tremble at the name of Jesus in the mouth of a believer. But if you're not a believer, they just laugh at you. Go over to Nahum, and let's read a scripture there, if I can find it. Praise the Lord. Found it. Nahum chapter 3 and verse 4. I'm going over to Revelation in just a minute. I want to show you something, though. It says, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. Whole nations can be sold into witchcraft. Do you think our nation's been sold into witchcraft and the occult?
Yes.
I'm telling you, if you look around you, you know it has been. And we are really in a lot of trouble with the Lord. It said, behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. God says he will, when we get into witchcraft and the occult, that he's going to bring shame upon us and show other nations. But here, what I wanted you to see was that whole nations has been sold into witchcraft. And you know, this is talking about Nineveh. You remember Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? He knew what was going on there. And he rebelled against God and got thrown into a fish. But you see, if you know about witchcraft, you don't walk into it deliberately. I've had people say, well, I'm not afraid of the witches. I'll just go over there and I'll do this and do that. Well, I'm not afraid of them, but I'm not foolish either. I don't know enough about what they do. I know a lot about it, but don't know as much as I wish I knew. I guess I know as much as I need to, because that's all I know about it right now. But I would not walk into a coven of witches that were having a whatever they have. Why? Because if God didn't send me there, I wouldn't go.
Amen.
And a lot of times we go into places out of stupidity instead of in faith. Because if you pray and seek the Lord and God told you to go, that's one thing. He would have the way prepared for you to go in there. But if you walk in there and say, well, I'm not afraid of them. Well, you just walked in there and opened your doors that the enemy could just have a ball with you. But God hates it. Do you know that over in Exodus 22, God said that suffer witch not to live?
Yeah.
Now, I don't care. I really don't care if you get mad at me about this because this is the way I feel. I've had to fight witchcraft and the occult for so long that when I'm dealing with a witch, that I know some witchcraft has been loosed upon me and sent through a coven, I loose the spirit. What God says, Exodus 18, he says, suffer a witch not to live. And I said, God, they chose to serve the devil. And they're attacking me and my family, and I loose back your word on them. I can't kill anybody, but I send their curses back upon them. Every curse of death that they've sent to me, I send right back to them. People say, well, you're not walking in love. Man, I tried. We were taken in and fooled by a witch. In fact, three of them, trying to help them. They were wanting to be free, they said. And all we got out of it was a lot of curses, a lot of destruction, and a lot of pain. Because they came in and they had their Bible. They were quoting scripture to us. And they were telling us they were saved and they wanted to be delivered. But you know what? They never presented themselves for deliverance. And the one time some of the women decided, I've had enough, we're going to gang up on this woman, she took off running. So God is saying, hey, people, wake up. You're in a world that is, you're surrounded by the occult, you're surrounded by Satanism, you're surrounded by the devil's people, and he's saying, wake up, and you start doing your spiritual warfare, start binding virginity. I think he's teaching, or will teach on it, on spiritual warfare, of binding in the heavens. You need to bind Satanism from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, and cut off all the power from Satan himself into their camp. Going on. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 3. I think it's always so interesting when I think on the occult and witchcraft like this and Satanism. This is occult means hidden. And so, you see, if we don't teach on it and show what it is, then it stays hidden. It's like I was invited over to Mississippi one time to do some teaching on deliverance. And I've been over there several times teaching deliverance with a lot of women there, real few men, because the men don't, you know, this is why the Lord wants me to do this today, because the women believe in it. I'm not sure about the men. But the men and women that were there were learning how to do deliverance. That's what they wanted, to learn how to do deliverance. And I was just teaching and showing, sharing with them. And we were doing deliverance. My husband and I was. And I got home about, I guess last time I was over there, about 2 weeks later, I got a letter from a man. And he said, we don't want you over here teaching on Satan. We know who we are. He wasn't saved. I found out later that he was the husband of one of the women that was there, and he wanted her out of the meeting. And he would just tell me, he says, all you talk about is the devil. Well, I thought, well, I really don't have to talk about deliverance unless I do talk about the devil. And, you know, I said, well, you know, somebody needs to uncover his works, because most people don't even believe they think he's in hell, you know, and that he can't touch them. But, you know, he's never been there yet. He's going, but he hasn't been there yet. But the only way you can uncover the works of darkness is to expose them. And we need to have our ears and eyes opened about the works that the enemy does. You know, I'll get back to my scripture in a minute. I've had people talking about familiar spirits. And Peggy and I were the other day, we were up at the trailer, and we were fixing to go do some deliverance. We were talking about some of the things that the Lord was doing and what he had shown us he wanted us to do. And I had forgotten about this, and I praise the Lord that she said this. She said, do you know what? Do you really think that maybe some of those demons over here listen to us? I thought, oh, Lord, I forgot all about that, you know. And I said, yes, I don't have any doubt about it. I said, let's bind their ears so they can't hear anymore. And Father, I ask you to loose confusion on them and tie their tongue so they can't tell anybody, any of those other demons, what we're going to do. Because we didn't, and you think, you say, man, you're really far out. No, I'm not far enough yet. I said, Lord, don't let those things go over there and tell those demons what we're coming over there to throw out. They'll have those demons so braced in there we can't get anything out of there. You know, they do. And I learned this from one of those witches. She didn't mean to tell it to me, but she came by my, and I don't know how in the world that one found my house. Yeah, I do. She had a familiar spirit. And she kept trying to find out where I lived, and I wouldn't tell her. I said, yeah, I don't want you at my house. See, we were trying to help her. That was the early stages. And she found my house one night. She came to our front door. And I have never seen a thing like this in my yard. And I've been living in that house 50-something years. So in front of my house, there was it looked like a frog, but it wasn't a frog, that was on the side of my house. And she went over there, and she picked it up, and she said, boom. I said, what was that? She said it was a flying frog. I'd never seen a flying frog. But it might have been. I don't know. It flew anyways. And I said, what's it doing on my house? She says, some of those witches sent over here to find out what we're doing. And I thought, familiar spirit. They sent their familiar spirit. See, familiar spirits are at work in mediums. You remember Samuel, in 2 Samuel, Saul, when he couldn't hear from the Lord, that he told his servant to go find him a woman that had a familiar spirit. And every time a familiar spirit's mentioned in the scripture, it talks about the occult. It talks about that it'll cause you to be unclean. It's another word the scripture uses. Can't think of it right now. But this witch that Saul went to, she called up with her familiar spirit, called up Samuel. If you will go look in the dictionary, when it talks about a familiar spirit, it says it's a knowing one. And it's used with necromancy, see, call up one from the dead. And so this witch that came to our house, my house was doing that. And so when Peggy said that, I said, well, let's bind familiar spirits too. So we bound familiar spirits, and we bound the ears. I asked the Father to seal the ears of the demons that they couldn't hear what we were saying, and ones that had heard us that they couldn't go and repeat it. You said, well, where do you find that? Well, I found that because the Lord spoke it to me that we needed to work on the demons. There, by the way, there are some scriptures over in Psalms and Proverbs that talks about grinding them up, splitting their tongue. I can't remember where they are right now, but we need to turn around what they're doing to us and turn it back on the spirits. Thank you, Jean. Glory. You say, well, they're not bothering me. Well, then you're going the same way the enemy is if you're not being bothered by the enemy. I'll tell you right now. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, it's true. You're not bothering him, he won't bother you. But if you're bothering him, he'll sure bother you. Over in Galatians, the scripture, I think I said, let's go to. In verse 1, Paul is talking to the church at Galatians. He said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, he's talking to the church, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Who's bewitched you, church, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Then he goes on to say, are ye so foolish, having begun the Spirit, that are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, and if it be yet in vain? And people take that and say, well, you know, I've received the Holy Spirit, and I'm no longer walking in the flesh. And that, I wish that were true, because I don't really know anybody that walks in the Spirit continually. I know we want to, but what he said to the church was, who's bewitched you? False teachers come in, and they teach against. You hear them saying, well, you don't have to have deliverance. You just believe. Well, you better believe if you're going to have deliverance, I'll tell you. You better get your faith operating. Because if you don't, you won't receive anything from the Lord without faith. We receive absolutely nothing from God. And so Paul was saying to the church, hey, church, wake up. See who's in your midst. And who are you listening to? And he said over in chapter 2, in verse 4, he said, and because of false brethren, unaware, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And, you know, this is what I found out this witch came to our church for. was to find out how we had found the spirits that we were working against. I thought that was interesting. And if you want to know, you say, ask the question that I asked, how did they know? This witch came from Texas, Oklahoma. There was a coven up there that she was in. Her father was a generation Satanist. And my question was, Lord, how'd they find out about us? They don't know anything about us. I always said we're a little peon church over there in Tennessee nobody knows about. And here they sending their witches into our church. Well, I just got through telling you how they know. We were throwing out spirits that we had run into, like hunter souls. We'd thrown out, we'd run into the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. We'd run into Leviathan. And that woman, as a witch, was afraid to even mention the name of Leviathan because he was a ruler. She said, why do you say those words so plain, so and not afraid? Afraid of what? I said, she said, we don't use that word because he's a powerful spirit. And we were running into these spirits and throwing them out like Apollyon, who's a spirit of destruction. And, oh, I don't remember where we were at that time, but they knew about us. And they came in to find out how we knew and to stop what was going on. Try to. But see, the Lord spoke to us and said, get rid of them. Get them out of the church. They're not real. They're phonies. They've come in to destroy and to kill. And so we got them out. In fact, my husband told me the church had felt so sorry for this woman that the church had voted to go rent a trailer and put her in the trailer. We paid. We spent $900 on a trailer over in a trailer park. And moved her into it. I put her in it. And all the people went home and got food and utensils and all the things, you know, she needed in the trailer. And we went over there one day I went over there for something, and there were two more in there.
She's in my words. In the area of the marriage bed, everything is not legal according to the Word of God. And a lot of people think, well, we're married, anything we do in that bed is our business. Read your Bible. God said it's an abomination. Honorable. And if you've been involved in any kind of perversion or anything like that, you need to confess it to the Lord. You don't have to confess it to people, but to the Lord. And get free from it. Because if you don't, your kids are going to walk in the same thing that you have walked in. Adult.
When I call my husband and I tell him, I said, Jim, there's three women in that trailer. I said, and God spoke to me this morning. I was sitting there praying, and God spoke to me, and he said, everything you fight against is in that woman. And he said, get rid of her. Jim said, get rid of her. Go over and throw her out. I said, who, me? he said, well, get somebody to go with you and go over there and get rid of her. Put a padlock. He said, put a lock on that trailer and get them out of that trailer. And so I got the ladies from the church, and we went over there. And I think I told this once before. One of the ladies used to be she came in out of the street. Years ago, she had rode a motorcycle. She was a big lady. And I loved her because she could really do the living. She could hold, you know, if we got a rambunctious spirit, she'd just sit down on them and they were in trouble. So she said, sure, we'll go over there with you. So I think there were five of us went over there. And we told them to get their things together and get out. And one of them ran out the back door when I walked up. I mean, she took off running, and this girl took off after her. And I don't know what she had done that she had called her, but she didn't get her. But anyways, to make a long story short, we put a padlock on that thing, and we got rid of them because God had said that they had come in to do damage, and they did do damage in the church. They planted spirits in the people that we've had to cast out over a period of time. We have gone after, sometimes it seems like there's a never end of what they did. You think you've got rid of all of it, and there another one will pop up. And that's what they came in there for, to just do all the damage they could. And because of our wanting, you see, we wanted to help them, help her. And then the other two came. But yet, we say, well, God wants us to reach out to people. You better be careful who you reach out to and who you bring into your fellowship. Check them out. See if they're real or not. Because speaking from someone, listen to someone that knows, speaking from, been there, done that, you don't want to get involved with it because they come in to destroy. And if they bring you into bondage, they bring your church into bondage. They put people in bondage and cause more problems in their lives. We had a terrible time with one of the women after this woman left, and we had to do deliverance on her. And what the bad thing about the whole thing was, we were having to do deliverance from the coven. She had brought in reinforcements from the coven that she had come out of, and it took us quite a while to get, you know, to get people free from it. Okay, going on. Over in Revelation chapter 2, I will never get through with all these scriptures I've got, but I'm sure going to try. Chapter 2, let's look at Jezebel. You know, Jezebel was a witch. You do know that, don't you? And she worked in witchcraft. And so in Revelation in chapter 2, in verse 18, it talks about, I can find my place. And it says, unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like brass. You know, reading this about Jesus, we really need to pray for discernment. Amen. We need that Spirit right this day above every other thing, one of the gifts of the Spirit. We need to discern to know who's real and who's not, who's really in earnest that really wants help and who doesn't. And not waste our time on people that really don't want help. They just, the enemy sends them in to waste your, you know. Over in Daniel, he talks about that they will come and wear out the saints. And that's why it's so necessary to know and discern and not just jump in. You know, if you really want to know how to find out if people are really interested in deliverance, tell them they need to come and sit under some teaching before they get deliverance. You'll find out if they're really in earnest. Because if they say, no, I want it right now, well, they didn't get all those demons right now. At a lifetime of getting those things in them. And it takes time getting them out. And so God would have us be wise about this and to ask, and you need to ask the Lord to give you true discernment. We went after some, what was it we were after upstairs? False discernment, spirit of suspicion, which a lot of people operate in. We need the truth. We really do. But we need for the Lord, ask the Lord to give it to you. The Lord says, if you ask, you shall receive. And when you're asking and you're ministering, when you're ministering to someone and you need the truth, just say, Lord, open my, let me see truth, discern whether this be true or not. So we'll know. Amen? He said, I know thy works in charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my spirit to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. To eat things sacrificed to idols, to spirits of seduction that works with the witch. They come in and a witch come into your fellowship or close to you. You know who they try to get close to? The leaders. And they go to work and they seduce the leaders and they try to get them in. This woman that we threw out of our church went to another church, and a big church over in Texas, and caused lots of problems. These people didn't know deliverance, but some way or another they took her in, and it was a big mess over there. I don't know the name of the church. I don't remember it right now because this happened several years ago. But she got in with the pastor, and the spirit of seduction began to work. And she told a lot of lies on some of the people in the church. And the pastor threw out some of the people instead of throwing the witch out. And then eventually he came, you know, recognized who she was and what she was. But it was the damage had already been done. And so it says, causes seduce my servants to commit fornication. And I was telling the ladies upstairs I had intended to do some teaching. I had a sermon that the Lord had given me a teaching on the fornication, how much God hates it. And he says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. And I will kill her children. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. He said, he's saying here that he would, unless you repent, it gives them space to repent. And if they don't repent, then he says, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give to every one of you according to your works. Now, you know, I believe, I've always believed since God put me in the book of Revelation that it's a book of deliverance. And it's delivering God's people so that we can, it says this, it reveals Jesus. And as we get delivered from what we find in this book, Jesus is being revealed. Over in the 16th chapter, you find the beast, the false trinity, the counterfeit of the true trinity. And I'm not going to preach Revelation. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 9. I'm going to do some more teaching on the beast and the false prophet. Man, I'm dealing with a beast right now. You know, lady, they're talking about the beast nature and all of this. It's true. It's very true. The beast is protecting, and this woman is protecting the dragon. And the dragon has seven heads. Anyways, back over, I'll tell you that much. 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 22. And it came to pass when Joab saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many?" So the reason I used that scripture was to show you that Jezebel was a witch. And it talks about the whoredoms of Jezebel. And he said, "There'll be no peace, and there'll be no peace in a assembly as long as there's a spirit of witchcraft and the witch is there, Jezebel, a witch, are just we need to recognize it." And so he goes and go back over to 1 Kings. I want to show you something that spirit can do. Everybody knows who Elijah was and how powerful he was, right? You know, he was afraid of Jezebel. He ran from her, didn't he? I gave you scripture to prove it. 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel, verse 1, all that Elijah had done and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Now that was a true prophet of God. He ran from that witch. And came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." I want you to look that a spirit of depression hit him. Did I tell you a while ago that a witchcraft brings depression? And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel's touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." But if a man of God that was as powerful and anointed as Elijah would run from Jezebel, the witch and the witchcraft, doesn't it tell us that we need to wake up and know what's around us and to stand? We have authority. We don't have to run. We don't even have to be afraid. Just stand up and take your authority and come against the spirits. Bind the spirits of Jezebel over your city, or what, a witchcraft or a cult. You know, we know that our world is so involved in the occult right now, the powers of darkness, that if we would just start binding the spirit of witchcraft and I would say bind Jezebel, because she's a witch and she's a powerful spirit. There's more about her in Revelation. And we start just binding that and pulling down that spirit in the heavenlies. Think what could happen. Bind the powers of Jezebel and her witchcraft over your city and over your church and over your house and over every area where you have authority. And you have authority. What does Joshua say? Everywhere is the soles of my foot. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel 13. I never teach without going to Ezekiel 13 if I'm teaching on witchcraft. I shared this with the ladies the other day, but they won't mind getting another little taste of this. In Ezekiel 13... in verse 17. "Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them." Let's stop and look at that. There's a spirit of that's not a true spirit of prophecy. Prophesy now of your own heart. You know, I was talking about the false prophet a while ago. But you know, a lot of times a person prophesying will prophesy what they want. They want that person to be blessed of the Lord, but they're prophesying out of their heart, and it's not real. It's not God doesn't honor that. He only honors what He says. I told this lady that in our church, it was saying, God said, and God said this, and God said that. And knowing what the kind of mess she was in spiritually with the demons in her, I had to ask her what God told her that. And she said, "My God." I said, the Lord Jesus Christ? And she never used the name of Jesus. I said, don't you tell me that was God. You're listening to that false thing in you. You listen to that thing. You've made him your God. Now you go before the Lord and repent. And she did. So he said many times here in Ezekiel, Ezekiel's talking, he said that people prophesy out. He said, set your face, thou son of man, set your face against the daughters of that people which prophesy out of their own heart and prophesy thou against them. And a lot of people want to prophesy and they do it out of their heart instead of the true spirit of God. And say thou, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows and to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the heads of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? He said, and will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for a piece of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear you? Wherefore thus saith the Lord God, I am against your pillows, wherewith you dare hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. If you look at that, he's talking to his people, to God's people. He's not talking to the world. He said, will you hunt the souls of my people? The enemy hunts to destroy. He wants to destroy God's people. And through witchcraft, he works. I heard Darwin Parrish say one time on a tape years ago that I had his, that he led some guy to the Lord. I don't remember the whole thing, but he said that he led some man to the Lord, and this guy had was a photographer, and he had a dark room, and he took pictures of people. And when he got saved, when Norman led him to the Lord, he got saved, he told Norman, he said, what am I going to do with all the souls I've got in my basement? He had jars with people's souls in them. And he said, he told him, he said, I have seen people get sick, walk down the street and get sick, and he's seen people die because he had worked curses on them. His wife had thought, I don't remember all the details of it, but he had been collecting those people's souls and putting them in jars. He said, well, he can't get my soul. Yeah, the devil can if you don't protect it. In other words, before you came to the Lord, who protected your soul? But my point is that I'm reading this scripture is to show you that witchcraft works against your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion, your ability. And people get sick. They get sick and die. They get to the place they have no. They're fatigued. Their memory's gone. When I first saw this and began to learn about the soul, and I'm not teaching on soul, but the one thing the Lord showed me, you know, I'm 72 and years old, and when I would see other people, when I wasn't 72, and they would be so tired all the time, and their memory was bad and all of this, and people said, well, that's just a sign of old age. Well, it's not. I don't see when Abraham had anything like it or Moses when they went home to be with the Lord. Don't tell me it's a sign of old age. It's a sign the devil has removed their soul and given them something they don't need. He'll take parts of their soul and put a spirit of death in there and say, you got to die. You're old. And people listen to it. And when I saw that the soul could be fragmented and torn and that the devil could remove parts of it, I said, Lord, restore my soul. Give me my memory. I got the mind of Christ. And the Word says God's not given us, he's given us a sound mind. He's not given us spirit, but a power and love and a sound mind. And people have said, well, you know, that's just symptoms of old age. It's the devil. There's people in nursing homes that are just vegetables. Laying there, they don't even know they're in the world. I had a sister laid there for 3 or 4 years. They wouldn't let me minister to her. They didn't want me around her. She's my sister. I couldn't do anything with her because her family said I was way out under her left field. They ought to go out there with me. But she was a vegetable. She laid that. They fed her through her side. And they kept her alive by feeding her through a tube. And the devil kept her alive. Let me tell you something. Because she was being used against her whole family. Her kids had to take, you know, cost all of them, had to pay for it, and had to take every, you know, all that you have to do to a person that's in a nursing home and take care of them and go see them, and it was causing all kinds of hardships on the family. And this scripture right here said, the souls that should not die, they make those that shouldn't die, die, because they don't fight, believe the enemy can do this to them. So they kill them. But those that need to die, they keep them alive. And my whole belief is, and you don't have to believe this because I don't have the scripture to prove it, but I believe they go and hunt souls of other people and put them in those people. Now, I don't have any scripture to prove that, but I believe that. Why do I believe that? Because he put them somewhere. Didn't I just tell you that Norman was talking about? By the way, he told that guy to go and break those jars and destroy those pitchers. He said he didn't know how to restore the soul at that time. So he just said, pray that the Lord will take care of him. He said, this man said next time he saw one of those men that had been so sickly walking around, said he was healthy and full of life and looked great. He restored his soul. White magic has worked against those that should die, that are not dead, that live. Black magic kills. Witchcraft. I'm talking about witchcraft. And witchcraft can remove the soul. It can't remove mine. Well, if you're perfect, hadn't sinned, kept your mouth shut, hadn't talked about people and put them down and yelled at your wife or yelled at your husband, got mad at your kids, you know, if you've done all this, you walk in perfect, no, they can't touch you. But when you get perfect, you're going to be gone. You'll rapture. You'll fly away. You'll go to be with the Lord when you get perfect. See, if God made us perfect when he saved us, the only way he could keep us, we could stay that way till we learned the word is for him to take us home right then, you know, taking us back to heaven. But he left us here because he didn't want to take us. Heaven's within us. He wants us here doing the work of the ministry here on this earth. And we get so lazy and passive, and you know, walking passivity will kill you. Well, it belongs to me, but I don't ever do anything about it. Well, what good does having it? What good does it do having $1 million if you never get to spend it? Got it in the bank. It's all in the bank. It's mine. Well, all this is ours. All that God's given us is ours. It's doing us absolutely no good unless we believe it and receive it and walk in it. And God's trying to tell us, hey, wake up, church! Glory to God. Going on. Where am I going to? Keep going. And let's see. Verse 22 says, Because with lies you have made the hearts of the righteous sad, and which I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked ways by promising him life. You know, I believe that if men and women that stand in the pulpit do not preach the truth to God's people and compromise, just preach what they want to hear, we're going to answer to the Lord. Because God said, you preach the word. He told Ezekiel over in chapter 2 and 3, he said, you go to my people. Did you know he sent him to my people? He said, go to my people. And you tell them. Now, they're not going to believe you. Isn't that neat? You go, but they're not going to believe you. But if you go and tell them, their blood won't be on your hands. But if they do believe you and they start walking in it, then they'll be saved. That's my paraphrasing. But he said, if you don't tell them, their blood will be on your hands. But if they do, you do tell them, then their blood's not on you. And that's what we want. We don't want anyone's blood on our hands. We want to walk in the truth. We want to tell it and get into the scriptures and see whether it be true or not. Amen? Revelation chapter 18 tells us, praise the Lord, chapter 18 and verse, so what verse I want? 23. It says, then the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. And that's talking about the witchcraft. And if you back up over to verse 13, it said, verse 11 says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, talking about Jezebel. Over her, before no man buys their merchandise anymore, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon, odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. making merchandise of them. Today, that's, we're seeing that in the church. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 18 tells us what God calls an abomination. You know, over in Jeremiah in chapter 10, he says, when you go into the land, don't learn to do the works after the heathen. And that's where we've come to. We're doing the things that works of the heathen. I don't mean the church, but all the church, but I'm talking about this is where our country's come to, that they're doing things that the heathen nations are not even doing. I don't know that the heathen nations and that know not God are doing abortions, do you? Killing their kids? I tell you, we have really come into a situation. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 18, in verse 9, says, when thou art come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are abominations to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And God's telling us here, he said, don't learn to do after the world around you. Be different. I used to, when I was in the Baptist church, when we were going out visiting and so forth, we had a preacher that really knew the word, and I praise the Lord for what I learned under him. He used to say, "Is when you go out and someone and you're talking to someone and they want to know, you know, where you're from and all this," he said, and if you're a Christian, you find out, talking to them about being a Christian, said, "Is there enough evidence about you, if you were on trial for being a Christian, to convict you?" Sometimes we're so much like the world that the world can't tell us apart. Isn't that truth? I told you I'd give you that scripture in Proverbs, and I'm going on to just a few more scriptures, and we'll do some deliverance. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. It says, as a bird by wandering, and as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Now, to show you what I'm talking about here, over in John's Gospel in chapter 14, if you remember, let's see, what verse is that? Verse 30. John chapter 14, verse 30. When it says hereafter, talking about Jesus is talking talking here, and he said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and find nothing in me. See, he couldn't find any sin in Jesus. So the devil couldn't do anything with it. Found nothing. And that's what God wants us. That's why deliverance is so important. He's wanting us to clean out all the garbage. And so when the enemy comes, that there's no door open so he can walk in and take over. You know, he goes through to and fro. Job talks about it. That was Job chapter 1. And if we're walking where God wants us to walk, we have a hedge around us. But if we're walking with sin and our life, and the hedge is down, and the enemy can just walk in. Got a couple more scriptures. Don't want to leave you there with just fighting witchcraft. Let's go and see what we got to fight with. In 1 John chapter 2, let's see, verse 14. John says, I've written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning, and I've written unto you young men because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. You know, I love to see the young men come in to deliverance. Because us old folks are getting younger, spiritually, but but you know, it's work. Of course, I'm not old. When I get old, I'll, you know. If love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we've got to love God more than we do these things in the world. He said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you doing the will of the Father? 1 John 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself from the wicked, and the wicked one toucheth him not. See, there's a place you can come to that the wicked one can't touch you. That's where we want to be, isn't it?
Yes.
And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in dark and wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given given us an understanding that we may know that him that is true. And we are in him that is true, and even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Not quite through. One more. I'm trying to see if that was the one I want. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me be sure that's it. I write my Bible sometimes, put notes in it. I had to go back and change if it's the one I want. Chapter 10, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 10 says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. That's not it. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, for because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. John said, remember that the greater one lives within you. So you don't have to fear the enemy. Luke 10:19 says that God has given you authority over all the power of the devil. You don't have to fear him. What you need to do is to learn to recognize him and to war against him. Amen? Okay, we're gonna do some deliverance for those that want it. And I believe you do, and most of you do. I don't know if we've got any perfect people in here this afternoon, but praise the Lord if we have. But begin with the witchcraft spirits, and we've got 20 minutes, I think, almost. And we're going to do deliverance until I run out of spirits.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. If I got anybody to give out paper towels. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come down and ask, Father, for your angelic protection. I ask you to send enough angels in here, whatever we need, Father, to stand guard in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I come in my authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rules of darkness. I bind the powers of darkness over his church. I bind the strong man in each one of us in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I thank you that we have authority to bind, and that when we call upon the name of Jesus, that we shall be delivered. You said it, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And so, Father, we call this afternoon, and we come repenting of our sins in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you said if we forgive others, and we come forgiving others, you said if we forgive others, you would forgive us. And so, Father, we come, and we ask you to forgive us, Lord, for the things we've done that we shouldn't have done, and for the things that we didn't do that we should have done. Lord, we come confessing our sins and ask you to cleanse us. And Father, give us a clean heart to receive that which you've given unto us in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, Father, to restore the soul in the name of Jesus of each one here. I ask you to send forth your angels to go forth and bring back the soul. Break the jars, you know, wherever part of the soul is, Lord, and I ask you to restore it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the restoration of our soul, and Father, for all that you're doing for us in the name of Jesus. And I bind Satan's power from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. We bind the spirits from the netherworld that nothing can enter in and give aid in the name of Jesus. I bind in protectors that would try to enter in. I bind any witches or warlocks or wizards that would astral project into the church that try to stop anyone from being free in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for your word in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, in the name of Jesus, I come against witchcraft in Jesus' name. Spirits of witchcraft, control. Spirits of Jezebel, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, don't be passive on me. Before I start, breathe in and breathe out. Work from the inside. If you want to be free from them, you command them out. Don't be praying with your mouth, because your mouth will stop this. If you say in the name of Jesus or praying in tongues, spirits do not won't come out through the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I think that's the only instruction I need right now. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against all witchcraft, all the occult, hidden things. In the name of Jesus, I come against harlotry. In the name of Jesus Christ, idolatry, unbelief, spirits of unbelief. In the name of Jesus, loosen them and let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ, turn them loose. Turn them loose and come out. Doubt and unbelief and fear in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of divination in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out of there. Every witchcraft curse that's been loose, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. I come against divination, spirit of Python. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. God has given him a name that's above every name, and at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows. I come against fornication, whoredom, witchcraft, idolatry, depression, madness, and insanity. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Fear, necromancy, soothsaying, fortune telling. Have you ever been involved in the fortune telling or a Ouija board, reading tarot cards? You need to renounce them. Anything of the occult, if you've gone... sit in seances, you need to renounce it and ask God to forgive you in the name of Jesus. I come against magic, spells, hexes, vexes, jinxes, incantation. Come on out of all the unbelief that the Satan can touch you in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, doubt. Doubt. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Resentment. Let them go. Turn loose and come out of there. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen. Come on out of there. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of bestiality. Sorcery. Idolatry. Homosexual spirits. Come out of there now. Lesbian spirits. Let them go. Spirits of defilement. Abortion. Murder. Shedding of innocent blood. Loosen them and let them go. Come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. All the doubt and unbelief. Go back after it. That's where we're getting most deliverance this afternoon. Doubt and guilt and unbelief and rejection. Bitterness. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go. Turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. Spirits of doubt and fear and unbelief in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Loosen them. Come on out of there. Come on. Unbelief. Doubt. Rejection. Spirits of rejection from the womb. In the name of Jesus. Fear of rejection. Self-rejection. Come out of them. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loosen them. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose and come out of there. Spirits of Ahab and Jezebel. Witchcraft, the witch, I call the witch Jezebel out. Spirits of control, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose, come on out of there. All satanic curses, I break, come against the worship of Satan. Come out of there, dedication to Satan. Let them go, come on out of there, let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. Let them go, come on out of there, let them go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Familiar spirits, spirits of doubt, spirits of unbelief, spirits of binding of the will and the emotions. Come out of there. Inability to give love and receive love. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Spirits of prostitution, slavery, witchcraft. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I come against seduction, homosexuality. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go. Child sacrifice, blood sacrifice in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come on out of them. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't give up easy. Come on. Breathe in, breathe out. Cough real big. Come on. Let them go. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fornication, harlotry. Come on out of there now. Deceiving spirits, delusion, whoredom. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Seduction. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of adultery. Turn loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, sexual perversion, sodomy, come out of them now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and let them go. Child molestation, all bondage, come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we come against all blood sacrifice and satanic curses in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Listen.
Abortion and murder.
Spirit of abortion and murder, come out of there. I break the power of every curse that came from abortion in the name of Jesus. Now call abortion out right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, spirits of murder, in the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let them go. Come on out there in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You know, I told them upstairs when we were doing deliverance, when I go calling spirits out, don't hold them back. If I'm calling, I said, if I'm calling out a homosexual spirit or a lesbian spirit, don't hold it back, because you may be getting free from something I called 5 minutes ago. And so don't be concerned about it. Just say, boy, if you're there, you leave. If you won't get free from them, you just tell it to go. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, child sacrifice, all abortion, spirits of abortion, murder, come out of there now in Jesus' name. If you had any part in an abortion, you are just as guilty of it as the one that had it. So you need to repent of it and ask God to forgive you. So in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we come against all curses, all spirits of abortion and murder in Jesus' name. Child sacrifice. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out there.
This is the end of this message.